Hey, I'm Kat, mom of three and founder of Ritual, the company setting a new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and thinking, what's in this stuff? All I found were vitamins high in heavy metals and lacking in the very essential nutrients we need. So we scoured the world for the best quality ingredients, backed by clinical studies, third-party tested, and Ritual's Essential Prenatal was born. Join our family of skeptics with 40% off your first month when you visit ritual.com/podcast.
Everyone, and thanks for listening tonight. My name, of course, is Sandman, and I'll be your guide through this strange realm of ghosts, cryptids, UFOs, aliens, conspiracy theories, and other unsolved mysteries that I like to call parareality. Well, I'm finally back on the air after being absent for about 3 weeks or so now, and man, what a few weeks it's been. Just in case you weren't aware, Nashville, Tennessee was hit by an F3 tornado on March 3rd, earlier this month. And of course, the studio is right around the area where the tornado hit. Now, this tornado caused major damage in the downtown area of Nashville, as well as the towns of Donelson, Hermitage, and Mount Juliet. All of those are kind of like, I guess you could say, suburbs of Nashville, especially the Donelson and Hermitage areas. The tornado just missed the parareality bunker by about 2 miles. Both my personal residence and the bunker had no damage, but since the studio is underground now, it probably wouldn't have suffered any damage anyway, right? However, I did lose my internet for a week, which made it impossible for me to upload a new podcast episode during all that time. And then COVID-19 hit, giving the city a 1-2 punch of devastation. Unfortunately, that has kept me busy on my day job, and it's left me with little time to devote to the podcast, until now, that is. So on tonight's journey into the realm of parareality, I'm going to be debunking some of the myths surrounding the COVID-19 virus and give you the facts so that you have what you need to keep your family and yourself safe. There's a lot of fiction surrounding this virus, and information about it keeps changing at such a rapid pace that it can be really tough to separate what is fact from the fiction. This is true even for the healthcare community as well. As someone on the front lines of combating this virus, I feel that it's my duty to inform you, my loyal listeners, on what is true and what's not when it comes to this new virus. So to learn more about what I'm going to be talking about, you'll have to turn on, tune in, and find out. However, before we begin tonight's journey, let me tell you how you can contact me here on the podcast. There are several ways you can do it, and here they are. First, you can email me. That email address is sandman@parareality.com. That's sandman@parareality.com. Second, you can find me on Facebook by going to my Parareality page. And third, you can follow me on Twitter. My username on Twitter, my handle, is @parareal radio. That's parareal radio, all one word. And lastly, you can always call the show. I'll call the studio line, 615-692-1170, and leave me a message. I'm in the studio a lot, except for here lately, because I've been putting in 10 to 12 hour days at work on the front lines of this COVID-19 thing. But normally, I'm in the studio a lot working on the podcast and updating my website and Facebook page and tweeting out stuff. And so never know, if you happen to call, I just might answer the phone. And never know, I might talk to you. But remember that if you call and I don't answer and you decide to leave me a message, just remember that you're giving me permission to play your comment back on the show. So if you don't want that to happen, you'll need to let me know somewhere in your message. Now, I'm always looking for interesting stories for the podcast. So if you have a story that you'd like to get on the show, tell it to me on the studio line. Tell it to me over the voicemail. If you run out of time, I think there's a time limit of like 5 minutes or something like that. But if you run out of time, just call back and pick up where you left off. You know, you don't have to tell your whole entire life story or anything like that. You don't have to leave your name if you don't want to. If you just have had something that you experienced that you don't have an explanation for, or maybe you want help with something or whatever, just tell me your story. Just leave a message and tell me your story, and I'll play it back on the air. And who knows, maybe together we can figure out what it was that you saw or experienced. You never know. May get to appear on the show. It may be interesting enough that I say, hey, I want you to be a guest on the show. So if you've had something experience, or if you've had some sort of experience that you don't know what it was, or you're looking for help to try to figure it out, and you'd like to be a guest on the show, email me, sandman@parareality.com, or you can tweet me at Parareal Radio, or even call the studio line. That number to call once again is 615-692-1170, and just leave me a message, and I'll get back in touch with you, and maybe your story is interesting enough that it will make the podcast. I've always prided myself in interviewing normal, everyday people just like you and me who've had some sort of unexplained experience. And I don't just want to go, big time celebrity guests and try to get all these famous people on the podcast. I want to interview people who are everyday, run-of-the-mill people just like you and I are. Someone who's had something happen to them that they just don't know what it was. Maybe you're looking for answers or help. Well, if you're interested, get in touch with me here on Parareality, and maybe you can be a guest. Keep having to mute my mic. I'm having to clear my throat a lot. And no, I don't have COVID-19. It's springtime here in Middle Tennessee, and springtime is allergy time. And I don't necessarily have any allergies, but man, the change of the season always messes my sinuses up, man. And it's just like horrible drainage down the back of my throat. I'm constantly having to clear my throat. I hate it. Doesn't always translate very well onto the podcast either, does it? Anyway, so this is the point in the show where I always read a little bit of fan mail. And this comes from someone who has written in before. It's Kasima, and she says, I love the podcast on the virus, meaning she's referring to the podcast that I did last month on the novel coronavirus, which is now known as COVID-19. So she says, I love the podcast on the virus. I agree on the theory you have about the BSL-4 lab. It opened in 2015, and just last year, about a month before the first reported human infection, they released 5G, which if you follow that, you would know that it has a possibility of doing things we can't imagine, like spreading disease. It just gets deeper from there. China's regulations also don't help that regulations barely exist there. There's a book that predicted the virus. I will have to look up information about it. Yes, that book was, oh my gosh, who wrote that book? I had it, and it just left me. There was a book that was written back in, I want to say 2004, and it predicted, it was about a virus that was released from Wuhan, China area, and it was very eerie that and you can read it. God, I wish I could remember the name of the book. I have to think about it and post it on Facebook or something like that. God, I had it and I was like, oh, I don't want to forget that for the podcast, and I wrote it down, and damn it, I can't find where I put it at. But that's what happens when you don't check your show notes thoroughly before you go on the air, right? Anyway, it was on page 333, which is, if you have numerical, if you are into numerology, 333 has some sort of weird meaning. I don't even know what that is. Kazmiya does, but I don't know. So anyway, so thanks, Kazmiya. Kasima, excuse me. When she was referencing the podcast on the virus a couple of months ago, well, it was last month, in February, I did a show on the novel coronavirus, 2019 nCoV, as that's what it was called then, which is now morphed into COVID-19. And just in case you don't know what COVID-19 is, coronavirus, and the D is disease, coronavirus disease, 2019, because that's when it came into existence, was in 2019. Anyway, I did a podcast on the novel coronavirus last month, and I said then that this thing was probably going to get a little ugly, and man, has it gotten ugly. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight. And as far as she's talking about 5G, that's the new cell speed thing. You know, there's 3G, and then we went to 4G, and now we're going to 5G, which, you know, there's only a couple of cell phone carriers that have 5G. I think it's T-Mobile and AT&T, I think. But 5G is supposed to have all of this weird low latency vibrations to it that can cause all kind of weird stuff, and supposed to be able to carry diseases and cause weird reactions to the human body and all that. I haven't really done a lot of research on this 5G stuff, but sounds like a great topic for a future show, doesn't it? So thanks for Kasima for bringing that up and cluing me in on the 5G stuff, because I think I'm going to have to make that a future episode here on the show. So, man, I can't start talking about COVID-19 until I address the tornado situation. Now, I said at the top of the show that an F3 tornado hit Nashville, Tennessee area on the 3rd of March of this year, 2020. And it happened sometime after midnight. And the tornado spawned, I read somewhere how many like little I guess baby tornadoes would be a good description, but how many tornadoes were spawned off of this one tornado? And there were several, and it just really just devastated. I hate to use that word because it's used so much. It really just messed up the Middle Tennessee area. And I am broadcasting this podcast from the very area where this tornado hit. And, excuse me. Wow, sorry. As I said, this tornado, as it was cutting its path of destruction through the Middle Tennessee area, it missed the bunker here, the Parareality bunker, by about 2 miles. My home was pretty close to where my personal residence was, pretty close to where the tornado ripped through as well. And luckily, we had no damage from my home or here in the bunker. Did lose internet for a week, which is, I mean, if you think about it, that was nothing, right? I mean, we had absolutely no damage in the area of town that I live in. But like I said, it was very close to us by 2 or 3 miles. And just down the street from where I live, it is just, I can't describe at the destruction that took place. I have pictures, and I was going to put them on the Facebook page and all that sorts of stuff. I thought, contemplated about putting them on my website, and I was like, no, I don't want to put them on the website. But I was so close to putting them on the Facebook page, and I just didn't, because I really wanted to not focus on what was going on, because we're, you know, there's every time something happens, you know, to a city or whatever, it's whatever hashtag, whatever city you live in strong, you know. So now they got, you know, Nashville strong hashtagging all over the place. And I was just like, man, I don't want to, you know, seem like I'm jumping on the hashtag Nashville strong bandwagon and, you know, post pictures and stuff. But I think it's been enough time now that I really would like to post some pictures of the area where I live in on my Facebook page. And so look for that in the next several days. And so you can kind of see from a person who lives in the area, you can see the destruction. We had a school that was partially destroyed. Several businesses were destroyed. And there is a warehouse. I don't know. We have an Amazon plant, our fulfillment center here, and there's a FedEx hub here, which both of those were okay. But there's another huge warehouse literally right across the street from the FedEx hub. And I don't know what this warehouse does, like, you know, all that. But it pretty much just ripped right through the middle of this warehouse. And even though it's been like 3 weeks, you can still drive down the road and there's still debris in the treetops. There's pieces of the roof in the treetops and scattered out all over the place. I'm wondering, how in the hell are we ever going to get this clean? It's taken forever. And of course, it's just raining like hell. And now we've got this COVID-19 thing. Like I said, this is kind of giving our city a 1-2 punch here. And we're struggling to recover from all this. But I really want to say I appreciate you loyal listeners who reached out to me on social media and email and everything, asking if I was okay, how I was doing. Because you know that the show is broadcast from the Nashville area, and I really do thank you for thinking of me and having my well-being in mind, And I appreciate the well wishes that I received, and I appreciate you guys reaching out. No, it might have taken a few days for me to respond to things. That's just simply because of what all was going on at the time. And I really appreciate everybody who reached out and was asking how myself and my family were doing. So thank you once again from the bottom of my heart. It really means a lot to me. So now that I've wasted the, well, I don't know if I'm saying wasted, but now that we've got 20 minutes down into the show, let's start talking about this COVID-19 disease, virus. It's not a disease, it's a virus. So before I start this, what makes me, you're probably asking yourself, Sandman, what makes you an expert in this? Why are you saying you're going to be debunking things, and why should I listen to you? Well, you don't have to listen to me, number one. Number two, I am not claiming to be an expert. I have never claimed that I'm an expert in this virus that's going around. And I don't want you to think that I am claiming to be an expert, because I'm certainly not. But what I will tell you is that in my day job, I am in healthcare. And I think people who've listened to the show for a number of years kind of have figured out what it is that I do. I've even said it a few times, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it again now. I am both a registered nurse and a paramedic. And my current job is at a level 3 trauma center in the Nashville, Tennessee area. And I used to work in the emergency department. And for the last few years, I have been in emergency management and emergency preparedness. And my job is to be the emergency preparedness coordinator for this level 3 trauma center. Now, I'm not going to tell you the name of this trauma center. I'm not going to tell you where I work. And I'm simply because I am not a spokesperson for this hospital. And I don't want anything to be construed that I am speaking on behalf of this hospital that I work for, because I am not a spokesperson, and I do not have any, I am not authorized to speak on their behalf, okay? But what I will tell you is that the things that I am going to say about this disease and about how it's affecting us and how we approach it is pretty much public knowledge. But just in order to keep privacy for the entity that I work for, and to avoid any confusion or any speculations or what people are going to speculate, but just to keep everything as private as I can, I'm not going to divulge the name of the hospital that I work at. And like I said, I am not authorized to speak for them, and I am not speaking on their behalf, and I am not claiming to be an expert on COVID-19. But part of my job entails preparing and training our hospital staff for all kinds of disasters and emergencies, both man-made and biologic. And this, of course, is a biologic emergency. So we have created a task force at the facility that I work at, if you will, and we've opened up our emergency operations center, and I am helping to man our emergency operations center and run the task force, and educate our staff, keep them safe, and try to keep the public that come into our facility safe as well. So I've been working 5 days a week, 10 and 12 hour days, which has left me very little time to devote to the podcast. Excuse me here. I'm just going to get something to try to help clear my throat, and a little drink. All right, that's better. So what is this COVID-19, and why is it so deadly to us. Let's start out with that. So I said earlier, COVID-19, C-O-V-I-D, C-O, Corona, V-I, virus, D, disease, dash 19, coronavirus disease 19. 2019 was when it popped up, right? So a coronavirus, first of all, what we need to do as far as especially the media is we need to start calling this thing by the correct name. It is not coronavirus. It is COVID-19. If you've ever had a cold, you've had a coronavirus. There are all different kinds of coronaviruses out there. And the chances that you have had one or all of them, except for COVID-19, are pretty darn high. Coronaviruses normally don't kill people. So people are calling this coronavirus. You see it on the news. You hear it on the news. They're saying, oh, coronavirus this and coronavirus that, blah, 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 coronavirus, coronavirus, coronavirus. That is giving not false information, but it's using an incorrect term to name this virus that we're dealing with. It is COVID-19. Like I said, if you've had a common cold, you've probably had, you know, at least one of those in your life. If you've had a common cold, you've had a coronavirus. What a coronavirus is, the reason they call it a coronavirus is because the virus itself has these little projections that come out on it that are like little crowns. And corona, I believe, is Latin for crown, or I could be wrong, but that's where they get corona from. So a coronavirus, while there are many of them, several coronaviruses, they don't necessarily kill you. So as you are talking to people about this, whether you're at work or whether you're talking to your family or whatever, and people are saying coronavirus, I want you to do me a favor and correct them and go, no, it's COVID-19. COVID-19 is a coronavirus, but it's not the coronavirus. We still have people who come into the hospital all the time who we diagnose with a coronavirus, and they're going, oh my God, I'm going to die. No, it's not this. It's not the COVID-19 coronavirus. It is a version of coronavirus that you have. So people hear coronavirus in their diagnosis, and they freak out. They think they're going to die. They go home and they tell their family, I've got the coronavirus. No, 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 no. You don't have the corona. You have a coronavirus, not the COVID-19 coronavirus. So why is this thing so deadly? Well, the reason they called it a, when it first came out, it was NVC. God, what was it? NVCOV, novel coronavirus. So novel just means new. NCOV, that was it. So novel, when they're talking about novel coronavirus, I mean novel is new. It's a new coronavirus. So what makes it so deadly is the fact that We've never seen this before. Our bodies have never seen this before. We don't have any antibodies. We have no resistance to this because it's something that our bodies have never seen. So that's what's making it so deadly, and that's why it's such a big deal, is that if you get it, number one, you're not automatically going to die, okay? But it's a big deal because we've never seen this before and we don't have any resistance built up to it. We have no immunity to it. So it's going to take probably more than one round of this, believe it or not, to go through, make its rounds before we'll have immunity to it. Now, they don't exactly know. And when I say they, I'm talking about the World Health Organization and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention here in the States, also known as the CDC. The WHO and the CDC don't really have an idea exactly of how it's transmitted. They're thinking that it's a combination of maybe airborne or droplet precautions. Now, airborne, you kind of can figure that out on your own. But droplet is when you cough. And you, when you cough, you spray shit out of your mouth. Same thing as when you sneeze. Those are droplets, right? that's a droplet expulsion. Even though it's mainly air coming from your lungs, you're still expelling droplets, okay? That's also droplet. So they're thinking it's a combination of droplet and airborne. They're not really sure. They're narrowing it down, but they're not 100% sure at this time. So the route of transmission has been somewhat of a mystery because we weren't exactly sure. Of course, you should always cover your mouth and your nose and the bend of your elbow when you cough or sneeze, right? But is that enough? We weren't sure, right? Should we really be worried? So all of a sudden, we had people freaking out, and the WHO and the CDC included, because they don't know how the hell this shit is. How is it transmitted? So they're telling us in the healthcare industry, you need to wear impervious when you're caring for someone that you suspect has COVID-19. They're telling us you need to wear an impervious gown. You got to have your gloves on, and you need to have a pair of goggles or a face shield and an N95 mask. Now, N95, there are different levels of mask. There's a level one, a level two, a level three, and then you have an N95 above that. Think of it as like a level four, although it does not really call it that. So a level one mask is like it's a procedure mask. So like if you're going to get like a colonoscopy or if, I don't know, maybe you're getting a breathing treatment at the hospital or something, people would wear these level one masks, and the level has to do with how much moisture is absorbed through the mask. So the level one is the lowest level of protection. Then you have a level two above that, which is something that like your dental hygienist would wear. And then you have a level three, which is your surgical type mask, which is like heavy moisture. You're going to wear that in an operating room. And then you have your N95, which is when you're trying to filter out as many germs and bugs and everything as you possibly can. Now, you see people walking around all over the place with these quote-unquote N95 masks on that they bought at Harbor Freight Tools or bought offline at Amazon or whatever like that. Let me tell you something. It's not doing you any good. And the reason it's not doing you any good is because you have to be fit tested for these N95 masks. And what I mean by that is there is a procedure that we have to go through so we can determine what the proper size mask for our face is, because it has to conform to our face in a certain way. And you have to be fitted for that. It's like going, you know, getting a tailor-made suit versus buying one off of the rack. You know, if you got the money, you of course you want a tailor-made suit because it's going to fit you perfectly. It's tailor-made specifically for you, for your measurements. But if you just buy one off the rack, it may fit a little loose. It may fit a little tight. You don't know. So that's the same thing with the N95 mask. Just because you have one and you're wearing it around outside and all that doesn't mean that you're safe, because you really need to be properly fit tested so it makes a proper seal around your face. So, you know, is it better than not wearing anything? Of course it is, but it's not doing you as much good as what you think it is. And by the way, wearing a bandana over your face, that's not doing you any good whatsoever. Wearing a dust mask that you picked up at Lowe's, that's not really doing you any good either. Better than nothing, yes, but just be aware that just because you're wearing these things over your face does not mean that you're guaranteed protection. So anyway, That was my little soapbox. So anyway, we have this whole bunch of PPE, personal protective equipment, that we had, that we were having to wear. And if you had a beard, if we have a lot of facial hair, we can't be fit tested for an N95 mask. So we have to wear something called a PAPR, which is a positive airway pressure respirator. And it like fits over your whole entire head. And it has this forced air pack on the back of it. It looks like something that you would see in a biosafety lab, a BSL lab. And it kind of is. We've relaxed that now. We don't have to do that. And as we have learned more about how we think this disease or this virus is transmitted. So here we are having all these PPE, this personal protective equipment, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that, right? We've got it. We're a healthcare entity. So we've all been fit tested. We have our mask. We have our gowns. We have our gloves. Everything's great until, you realize that where do we get up to 85% of all of our personal protective equipment manufactured? You guessed it, China. Specifically, Wuhan area. Imagine that. So now we're not getting any shipments of anything from China. We're like, no, don't send us your shit. So none of our stuff, hardly at all, only 15% of it, is made here in America. And now all of a sudden there's a shortage because people are burning through masks because they're scared. And a lot of this is thanks to Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, you know, all the major news networks, putting a lot of fear into the American people. Now, I will have to say, most of the time, that's bad. Except for now, I think it's really good. I think the news networks putting this fear into the American people is really good. And I'm not saying it's unnecessary fear, but I think it's really doing us a lot of good because now we have this thing called social distancing, and people are scared. They're wearing these masks. They're not going out. You know, they're really scared, and that's thanks a lot to the news media. So, anyway, so what I want you to know about this is there are a lot of facts about this new virus, and there's a lot of fiction that surrounds it too. So as we're finding out more and more about how it's transmitted and more about our proper protective equipment, we've gotten a really more relaxed. We no longer have to wear the N95 masks unless we're doing aerosolizing procedures. In other words, unless someone's getting something like a breathing treatment that you would get in the hospital, we don't necessarily have to wear the N95 mask. We're finding that regular masks will work just fine. And, you know, we still want to wear like a face shield, something to cover our eyes. And that's the reason for that is droplet precautions. Once again, if you cough, little spittle droplets from these microscopic things can come through the air and get in the mucous membranes of your eyes and your nose. And you can become infected, right? So you got to have these things in place. We're seeing now a lot of places are basically going under martial law. You're having these lockdown procedures. You're having shelter-in-place orders. A Nashville mayor just came on television this morning and said as of midnight tonight, everyone's sheltering in place. Earlier in the week, he shut down churches and restaurants. Restaurants can only be available for to-go orders. You know, shut down gyms, places of large gathering. Nashville, you know, Music City, USA, we have a lot of concerts. All that's canceled. Excuse me. There's not a lot of people going out. It's like a ghost town. And now you're seeing this kind of spill over into the healthcare industry. There's a lot of healthcare facilities, mine included, that are on lockdown. As a matter of fact, every hospital in the Nashville area is on lockdown. We don't want you in our hospital if you're not a patient. You know, no more visitors. It's like a ghost town. It's like something you see out of The Walking Dead. The hospital is empty. I mean, we've got patients in there, yeah. But there's no visitors, so the traffic is like stopped, and we're not letting people in. We have to have guards at all the entrances, and as a matter of fact, the main entrance to our hospital is locked, and we have signs everywhere that says, you know, basically go away if you're not a patient. It's really eerie. So anyway, fact versus fiction in this. What are some fictions out there and what are some facts? Well, some of the things that I have heard is that if you drink enough water, you can flush COVID-19 out of your system. I don't know where the hell that started, but that is a falsehood. I don't know who or where, who started that or where or why or anything, but that is not true. You cannot flush COVID-19 out of your system. I've also heard that COVID-19 is that it lives on surfaces, and that if you have it and you cough or sneeze, or if you just touch a surface or something like that, it's going to live on the surface for, you know, so many days or hours or whatever. And that's why everyone's wiping all this stuff down and all this other crap. We don't really know right now how long it's going to live outside of the human body. So is that fact or is that fiction? It's kind of a gray area because right now we're not 100% sure. Hand sanitizer. I've heard hand sanitizer kills COVID-19. No, it doesn't necessarily kill COVID-19, but the use of hand sanitizer keeps your hands clean. And the number one way to prevent the spread of this disease is to wash your damn hands and cover your mouth when you cough and sneeze. And then you have social distancing. I've also heard, of course, the big one is that coronavirus is a man-made virus that was released out of the BSL level 4 lab in Wuhan, China. Now, I reported on this when I did last month's show on this very topic, except then it was called, you know, the novel coronavirus, and it wasn't called COVID-19. So there could be a ring of truth to this. This BSL-4 lab is in the city of Wuhan, and it's just a hop, skip, and a jump from this open-air market where they're thinking that this originated from. Now, it is a very distinct possibility that the Chinese government, because we're talking communist China here, right? It is a very, very distinct possibility that the Chinese government is simply doing a little biowarfare test. They have this little virus here, and they're like, oh, man, this is a coronavirus, and it may kill a few people. It may not. You know, let's see what happens. Let's release it and see what happens and see how long it takes to spread through the world. It's very possible. It's also very possible that this thing got out by accident, like maybe somebody worked at the lab, got infected with it, or it was on someone's shoe or something like that. I don't know. But I think that the possibility is very high that this did come from that BSL-4 lab. I'm not saying that it was deliberately released. It's a possibility that it was deliberately released. But I think the chances that this thing originated in that BSL-4 lab is greater than 50%. If this is a test of some sort of new biowarfare weapon by the Chinese government, most of the time, and this is just from what I know in the world that I live in, because I live because of my job you know, I have to kind of stay up on all of these, excuse me, diseases and these biowarfare weapons. And there's something called CBRNE, chemical, biological, radiological and environmental stuff. CBRNE or CBRN, however you want to pronounce it. But I have to stay up on top of this, and I have to stay very well versed in it. And if most of the time, if people are going to release something like mustard gas in World War One or something like that, if they're going to release something, they should have a antidote for it. Not saying cure, because that would be, I think, wrong terminology, but they should have an antidote for it or know of an antidote. Mustard gas, I don't think that there was an antidote for that. I think they knew that when they released, when the Germans released it. But anyway, but this, once again, we're talking about communist China. So did they have an antidote or a cure for this? Don't know. You know, do they have something stronger? And this is just the little, you know, first step baby test. Could be. Don't know. It's definitely something that I think in the weeks and months and maybe even years to come that will be definitely looked into more. You know, mainstream media hasn't really picked up on this. I just got sent something on Facebook a couple of days ago that where Antonio Sabato Jr. was talking about how this big sting operation that involved Chinese nationals and espionage was just they just arrested a bunch of people. One of them was a Harvard professor who was providing information to China. He was on their payroll, and during this, they mentioned the BSL-4 lab in Wuhan, and It's kind of interesting that now that COVID-19 has been going on since November, it's a safe bet to say since November, that now we're just now, you know, maybe the mainstream news will just be picking up on this. I'm not saying I broke the story, because I certainly didn't, but I think I was one of the first people to report on this BSL level 4 lab and its possible connection to the coronavirus. Now, some other facts, or excuse me, fiction stuff that I've heard is that coronavirus, it's if you are a child, you're highly susceptible to it, and we need to be, you know, homeschooling our children, keeping our children indoors lock and key. Well, yeah, you do need to be keeping your children at home and keeping them safe, but children are not any more susceptible to this disease than adults are. As a matter of fact, it really doesn't. There's been a few pediatric deaths, but it doesn't really affect the pediatric population as much as it does the adult population. Now, numbers are changing. Figures are hard to keep up with, but the number of pediatric deaths are very, very small. And if you were to look and do a deep dive into these pediatric deaths, I can probably pretty much guarantee you that the children that did die from it had some pre-existing comorbidities. In other words, they had something that was wrong with them already that was probably pretty major. And that would probably have to do with a respiratory thing, since this is probably, for all intents and purposes, a respiratory type virus, right? So the people that it's killing are the elderly who are in poor health or have these comorbidities. And it's usually something like respiratory related. So emphysema, chronic emphysema, COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, chronic bronchitis, people who have real bad asthma, people who have cancer, people who have diabetes, stuff like that. Those are the people that it's killing. The younger population and the more healthy population aren't really, while we are getting sick, We're not the ones that are dying. Now, of course, there are exceptions to every rule. And I'm sure if you did a deep dive into the numbers and the figures and everything, you would see that there are, you know, all age ranges are in there. The majority are going to be people who are older. So we've looked at, can you flush the disease out by drinking water? No. We've looked at, how it's transmitted. We've looked at, does hand sanitizer do any good? You know, what else does, and hand sanitizer doesn't necessarily kill the disease, just keeps your hands clean. And another thing that I want to, when we looked at mask and about how wearing mask isn't as safe and effective as what you would think it would be. Another thing that I want to talk about the mask situation is that when you wear a mask, you're like 25 times more likely to touch your face than you are normally. I think you touch your face. I said 25 times. I'm sorry. You touch your face like 25 times an hour. You're 3 to 5 times more likely to touch your face frequently when you're wearing a mask. And that is because you're constantly adjusting it. You're pulling it up and down. You're scratching, it tickles you, stuff like that. So just simply wearing a mask makes you more, you know, susceptible to touching your face 3 to 5 times greater. Like I said, you touch your face in like 25 times an hour, something like that. And wearing the same mask all day, every day, and then you're inside and you pull it down up underneath your chin, that right there is that's a no-no. You know, wearing it all day, the same mask, not necessarily the best idea, because if you do walk somewhere and you got this mask on it that has the disease, the COVID-19 that's on the outside of it, you could walk into somewhere else with this virus on the outside of your mask, and you could actually be helping to spread it. So need to change your mask frequently, like wear it when you go out, when you go indoors, take it and throw it away. Now, I know you're probably like the rest of us and you don't have, you don't have an endless supply of masks. So you do you, baby, you do whatever it is that you feel like you got to do to protect yourself. I'm not going to fault you for that. I'm just saying, you know, you need to be smart about all this. So wearing mask doesn't necessarily, it doesn't make you as safe as what you think it does. I want you to be aware of that, okay? And finally, before I wind the show down, I want you to think of this, okay? There are 8 billion people in the world, and we've had like 400 deaths from this coronavirus disease, and there's, let's see, how many hundreds of thousands of people have been affected by this thing? Let me pull up, I've got the internet right here. Let me pull up current numbers here while I'm talking about this. Current COVID-19. Okay. Let's see what this website says. Okay, so we've got over 300,000 coronavirus cases worldwide, 14,000 deaths. There's been 97,000, almost 98,000 people who have already recovered from it. Okay, so active cases, we have almost 225 active cases. Closed cases, in other words, cases which had an outcome, was over 112,000. So, like I said, total number of cases, over 300,000. We've had 14,000, just a little over 14,000 deaths. Now, there's 8 billion people in the world, roughly. If you were to do your math and calculate this out, the percentage of people who have died from this COVID-19 is like 0.00015%. That's way less than 1% of the population that has died from this disease. And way less, way, way less than, what, 5% of the population has even been affected by this. So the majority of the world is fine. And I think we're going to be fine too. Now, you wouldn't know it if you went out to the grocery store today in Nashville, because I did that thanks to the mayor who put us on basically martial law, shelter in place starting at midnight tonight. Man, you would think it was Armageddon. There's no toilet paper. There's no paper towels. There's no soup. There's no bread. Let's see. There's no beans. That surprised me. Rice and beans are gone too. Frozen pizzas are gone. Soap is gone. Clorox is gone. I mean, the grocery store that I was in Kroger, this huge Kroger, and it looked like something out of an Armageddon movie where it had just been picked through. It was crazy. So, you know, are we overreacting? You know, I don't think so. I really don't. And another thing that really, really gets to me is that, once again, the mainstream news media with this, all this fear-mongering they're doing. I'm telling you, normally, I would say that is a bad thing. However, this time, I think it's actually for the best. One of the things that is going on is that they're trying to make this look like it's Armageddon, like this is the end of the world and that's it, right? So I saw on the news this weekend where they got some guy from the UK, some doctor from the UK, and they were asking him, hey, if you were to look at the US and say, you know, how well prepared are we? How far behind are we on this? What would you say? How far behind are we on getting on top of this thing? And he says, oh, I would speculate that the United States is about 2 weeks behind. That really pissed me off. Number one, that they felt like they had to go to the UK to get someone to talk about this. And number two, the fact that this guy is saying the United States is 2 weeks behind getting us prepped for this. Well, let me tell you something. You know, one of the things that's being spread out there, one of the rumors is that the government, you know, we can't handle this. We weren't prepared for it. This is why everything's falling apart. Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, is bullshit. I want to leave you with this, okay? The government may be 2 weeks behind on its response to COVID-19, but the private sector, ladies and gentlemen, the private sector has been all over this for a long time. And we in the private sector have been very, very well prepared. We have handled this with grace, and we have handled this with class and finesse, and we, the members of the private sector, have actually schooled the United States government on how to handle this thing. Yeah, the government's probably a little bit behind with their reaction to this, but the private sector, man, we've been all over it. The only thing that is causing the private sector to have any hiccups whatsoever are our PPE. If our PPE was made here in the United States of America, we wouldn't be having the shortages that we are now. You hear on the news about people making homemade masks. It's not enough. It's not the correct PPE. Should we be using it? Maybe so. It's better than not wearing anything at all. Are we going to turn it down if your church groups makes a bunch of masks and gives it to the hospital? Hell no, we're not going to turn it down. Are we going to use it? Probably not, but we're not going to turn it down. This needs to be a lesson to, and this is one thing that I will agree with Trump on. I'm not a Trump supporter, but I will agree with him on this. I think we need to bring businesses, especially manufacturing, back to the good old US of A, because if we had more of our PPE manufactured here in the United States, we wouldn't be in this crisis. We wouldn't see hospitals who are holding their mask up under UV lights in an attempt to try to kill the germs on them. We wouldn't see hospitals going out and buying vacuum cleaner bags with HEPA filters on them to try to manufacture homemade masks out of goddamn vacuum cleaner bags. We wouldn't see the shortages of the PPE that we have now. We wouldn't see the number of healthcare workers who are not only scared to death, but sick. And we, on the front lines, the healthcare workers of the world, and not just of the United States, but of the world, we are the ones who are coming to work and trying our damnedest to help the people who are sick and keep the people who are well, well. And what we're asking you, ladies and gentlemen, is to stay home. Stay away from the hospital. Just because you have a sniffle doesn't mean that you're that you've got COVID-19. Now, people are upset because it takes so long. They think that there's some sort of conspiracy with the testing. They think that the government's withholding these tests and all this other sorts of stuff. No, the government's not withholding the test. Right now, the only place that can really test it is the CDC. Now, they're sending out kits and stuff to all the states. Not all the states have them. They had problems with the kits that they originally sent out. They were not right and all this other sorts of stuff. It takes a certain, there's a certain process to go through to test for it. And because they're so inundated with these tests, it can take up to 9 days to get your test results back. And that's not a government conspiracy. That's just how it is. And it's not the fault of your hospital. It's not the fault of your doctor. It's not the fault of anyone other than the fact that we just don't have the ability to test. And that's a problem. Once again, the private healthcare sector have come up with ways to manufacture test kits and get these test kits out to people. We've opened up drive-through test centers and all that, but just having the test kit doesn't mean that we can test for the virus. The kits still have to be sent off to the state, and the state has to do what they got to do and send it off to the CDC, and the CDC has to test it. And you're looking at upwards of 9 days in some cases before someone's getting their results back. And that's also one of the reasons why we're seeing these big increase in numbers overnight, is because you've had people who have been under investigation for the disease, and they've been waiting for a week or longer for their test results to come back. And all of a sudden, bam, we're getting all these tests back. Well, the numbers that we're getting back, they could be 9 days old. You don't know. So it's still going to be hard right now until we get more testing, more, when I say more testing centers, that's not a good term, until we get more ways of running the test, more places like that open, we're going to see these numbers just explode here and there. But like I said, right now, the total percentage of the world's population that has died is way, 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 way less than 1%. So what I want you to do is remember about all of these facts that I have given you. I want you to stay safe. I want you to definitely practice your social distancing, as they call it. If you're working from home, take advantage of it. take some me time, read a book, listen to your favorite podcast, Parareality, and reconnect with your family. Stay safe. Wash your damn hands. Cover your mouth when you cough and sneeze. You don't have to run to the, you know, as a matter of fact, it is up to the State Department of Health whether or not you get tested. You have to meet certain criteria. So there are a lot of people who are coming to their emergency department saying, I want to be tested. Well, just because you come to the emergency room and you say, I want to be tested for this, doesn't mean you're going to get tested. We'll still, you know, we got to, by law, we still have to say, okay, come on in, you know, but it's up to the State Department of Health whether they're going to test someone or not. And if you're not sick enough, baby, you ain't getting tested. If all you've got is a cough, or if you just have a little bit of a fever, you ain't getting tested. We got to save the tests for people who really meet the criteria. What's the criteria? The criteria is, do you have a fever? And a fever is classified as greater than 100.4, not 104, 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit. Over that is classified as a fever. So you have to have a fever. You have to have a cough. You have to have shortness of breath or difficulty breathing. And you have to have had all of these things within the last 14 days. And especially if you come up and you say, well, you know, one of my coworkers was diagnosed with COVID and he works in the cubicle next to me. Well, then of course we're going to test you. But if you just come in and you say, well, I've had a fever, you know, well, what was your fever? I don't know. I just felt hot and I want to be tested for COVID. No, not getting tested. Not going to happen. But if you come in and you say, I've had a fever and it's been 102, I've had this cough going on for 10 days and I'm having a really hard time breathing. You know, it feels like I just can't catch my breath. You know, you're probably going to be tested. And it's probably going to take anywhere between 5 to 9 days before you get your test back. So that's about all of the facts and fiction that I can think of to tell you right now. But I want to close with this, and I've said this probably about 8 times already, but I'm serious this time because I'm running a run over time. I want you to stay safe. Wash your hands. Use your hand sanitizer. Practice the social distancing. No, you know, don't get in within 6 feet of somebody. Take this time if you're stuck in the house to just relax, catch up with your family, catch up with yourself, read a book, catch up on your shows, listen to your favorite podcast, Parareality. And, you know, just know that we're going to survive this. We're going to make it through this. You know, is this bad? Yes. I never thought that I would see what I'm seeing now. And I've been in healthcare a long time. I've lived through HIV and AIDS and MERS and SARS, hepatitis, Ebola, and now this. And if there's ever one thing that I was afraid that I would actually catch and have the potential to bring home and affect my family, it's this. It's COVID-19. And that's just simply because it is, you can get it so easily. And I'm healthy. I'm not going to say I'm young, but I'm healthy. And besides having this sinus drainage and cough, you know, I don't really have anything going on with me right now. So I would probably have just some mild symptoms and be fine, you know. And a lot of the people who have COVID-19, the diagnosis, they're being sent home and they're saying, just isolate yourself. And there's one other thing. There's a difference between isolation and quarantine. Okay. Let me tell you this. Quarantine and isolation are used interchangeably a lot of times and it's different. So isolation, that is, you have said disease or sickness. You have it. We know it. You're diagnosed with it. You got all the signs and symptoms. You have it. You're in a room by yourself for X number of days. and, you know, no one goes in or out except for healthcare professionals wearing their proper attire. Quarantine is there's a disease or whatever going on, a sickness, and we suspect there's a chance you may have it. So we're keeping you in an area by yourself, or maybe with other people who we suspect has this disease, but we're keeping you in an area by yourself for said number of days to see if you develop the signs and symptoms of the sickness, the illness. So quarantine, you don't have it. We think maybe there's a good reason to suspect that you do. So we're just going to put you by yourself and keep an eye on you. Isolate means you definitely have it, and we're definitely putting you by yourself, and we're not letting anyone in or out. So there's a difference between quarantine and isolation. So what are all we doing here? If you come to the ER and you say, oh man, I think I've got this, you know, I'm having a fever, cough, sore throat, shortness of breath, whatever. We test you, but your symptoms are not severe enough to be admitted to the hospital. So we're sending you home and we're telling you, oh, self-isolate. It's really kind of like a quarantine because we don't know right now that you have it, but there's a high degree of suspicion that you do. So we're going to ask that you quarantine yourself in your home. Isolate means you got this and you need to be by yourself for sure. So there's the difference between isolation and quarantine. Oh, man. So I hope that I have cleared up some things about COVID-19 for you. And I hope that you have had some of your hopes, or not your hopes, but some of your fears laid to rest, and that maybe I've helped you to understand the way this thing is being approached. Maybe I've hoped that maybe I've helped you to do that a little bit better. That's been my aim throughout this whole thing. So I'm just going to once again tell you to stay safe. We will make it through this. Things will get better. And when we come out the other side, we'll be stronger for it, and we'll have learned a great lesson. And I hope one of those things would be, hey, we need to start making more of our stuff here in the United States. So I'm way over time, so I'm going to end it. Everybody, I hope that you enjoyed tonight's episode of Parareality. Let me know what your ideas and thoughts about it are. Send me an email to sandman@parareality.com or get in touch with me through my social media accounts. That's Parareality on Facebook and Parareal Radio on Twitter. You can also call the studio line, 615-692-1170. That number to call once again is 615-692-1170. Leave me a message. And don't forget, if you don't want me to play your message back, you better tell me, or else it just may get played back. Also, don't forget to visit the website, parareality.com, often to keep up on the latest paranormal news from all around the world. The content is updated daily. So if you're a paranormal news junkie, you can head on over to parareality.com, click on the news section, and get updated with the latest and greatest in the world of paranormal and weird news. You can also shop in the Parareality Radio store and watch some of the terrible videos that I've made for the show over the years. And you can actually follow my social media accounts right on the bottom of the Parareality homepage. Social media is where you can find out all about what's happening behind the scenes of the podcast, because that's where I post a lot of interesting articles and show topics and other interesting stuff, such as my travels and investigations. I'm always traveling somewhere and doing stuff. So I'll post all that on my social media accounts. Woo, parareality.com is really your one-stop shopping for everything that's happening in the parareality world. Parareality can be heard on your favorite podcast platform. The show's available on Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Podcast, Player FM, Deezer, CastBox, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Podcast Addict, YouTube, Apple Podcasts. On YouTube, you can search for Parareality One. That's the number one. So whatever your favorite podcast platform is, I'm there. And if you got a smart speaker, you can listen on that thing too, just by asking it to play Parareality. If you got any of the aforementioned podcast skills on your device, just say play the Parareality podcast. And I also now have a Patreon account for the podcast, and I'd love it if you'd sign up to be a patron. There are three tiers of support, and all are extremely affordable, $5 a month or less. Each level offers exclusive content along with the ability to help create podcast episodes and even the chance to be a guest on the show or a co-host. Now, to learn more, head on over to patreon.com and look for Parareality. 100% of the proceeds from Patreon goes back into producing this podcast. I don't make a dime. I just want to continue to be able to create quality content for you, my beloved listeners. Everyone, the next episode of Parareality is scheduled to air on April the 3rd, 2020 at 8 o'clock p.m. Now, as I said, I'm knee-deep on the front lines of this COVID-19 stuff, and I'm working 5 days a week, 10 and 12-hour days. Right now, you know, it's been 3 weeks since I've been on the air, and I really don't know that I'm going to be able to do an April 3rd edition. I'm going to try really, really hard to get that out. Just keep track of my website, parareality.com. Follow me on Twitter at Parareal Radio. Keep track of the Parareality page on Facebook just for updates on what the show schedule is going to be. Until this COVID-19 thing blows over, the show schedule may be very erratic, and it may be where I can only produce one show a month. I really, really don't know. But I'm going to try to continue to produce something and put it on the air as best as I can. So just make sure you follow me on all the social media stuff and make sure you turn on, tune in, and find out. That's the way you're going to do it. I hope this podcast opens up your mind in new ways of thinking, expands your consciousness, and produces a change in the way you see the world. If you wish change, you must lift the veil of ignorance that has been cast over your eyes. Only then will you see the true power of the universe. Good night, everybody, and I will see you again just as soon as I possibly can. Good night.
If you wish to change, you must first lift the veil of ignorance that has been cast over your eyes. Only then will you see the true power of the universe.